I chose this passage for a number of reasons, the best of which was that it really highlights how identities in this book are not only constantly changing, but changing without the very people they're changing in not knowing. They're often held up by especially covert language and places. This scene certainly marks a shift in the novel and Gunner himself. He and the gun-toting hooligans have just returned from shooting up the neighborhood to avenge Pumpkin's death. Towards the end of the ride in Psycho Loco's car, Gunner starts to get dizzy as the familiar landmarks around him begin to blur. So far, Gunner has yet to really fully come to terms with his new identity here in Hillside. His maturation here has been forced prematurely, and now he is part of something even bigger than himself. He has the gun-toting hooligan's respect, something he would have loved to have when he first came to Hillside. But he can't help but wonder what has happened since. Now he describes circling the neighborhood as riding in an R-rated carousel, with irritating music constantly ringing in his ears. As he gets off the wicked carousel, he throws up in the yard. The images and feelings here make it really clear how Gunner's new identity is clearly a corrosive one, at least partially. What I particularly love about this scene is how Beatty conveys the feelings associated with all of a sudden realizing that you have a new identity. Gunner's new life and new self very much snuck up on him, and only here is he really realizing that. The words carousel and merry-go-round invoke a sense of childhood and of an innocence of childhood that was rushed and perhaps lost. When he comes home, all he wants to do is share all of his thoughts with his mother. He tells her that he is becoming so black it is a shame. He wants to tell her that living out there in Hillside was like being in a never-ending log-rolling contest. I found this to be a fantastic, fantastic simile for what Gunner has gone through in this new environment. I don't know why I have, but if you have ever seen a log rolling contest, then you know how frantic the people involved look. They have to constantly move their feet and adapt to somebody else's movements. If you're not constantly alert and balanced, you will lose and fall. In Hillside, Gunner has to be constantly running, assessing, planning his next move. There is scarcely any time to think about why he got so wrapped up with the gun-toting hooligans, or why racism and oppression has created bickering and fighting and distrust in the community instead of any kind of solidarity. Only in a memoir written with the time taken to reflect and remember does any of this become apparent to him. I also like the log-rolling simile because there's also the feeling that the contest is somewhat pointless. Gunner himself thinks that nothing matters as long as you keep moving. So you are also lulled into something that is irrelevant in other circles. This brings us to the part of the passage in the dream, where he chases a white boy down a set of stairs and ends up shooting him. The boy is faceless, and we don't really know who he is. And in truth, I usually have not known what to do with dream scenes this semester. But here, I guess that the boy represents a version of Gunner's former self. He thinks that the boy has wronged him, but he can't quite say how. The transgression, however, is bad enough to merit death. Gunner's new identity leaves no room for this other former part of him. Moreover, to the extent that the white boy represents all white people generally, this is threatening to Gunner's new identity. He is confronting the fact that this change has been very tumultuous for the first time. The change itself seems to be represented in his dream as a hurricane or a nuclear blast. Each of these, of course, generally destroys whatever is in its path. Just like that hurricane or blast, there is tons of confusion after. Gunner in his dream is now very confused with his new self. He does not know if he is hero or criminal. Before he can answer his own confusion, Psycho Loco comes and takes his gun and offers to take the fall. for him. I think that the theme of identity and flux here works best if I can point to two other scenes where it happens a little bit differently. The first is a scene on page 49 into 50, really, where Gunnar meets Betty and Veronica in the urban playground. They've just moved to Hillside, and Gunnar's mother sentences her three children into the park, where they meet Betty and Veronica. And these are two really caricatures of very hardened 10-year-old girls that drink, smoke cigarettes, and collect as many hypodermic needles as they in the sandbox as they can. In this scene, Gunnar and his sisters make Betty and Veronica mad for swinging on their swing, and nothing they do seems to help. At one point, Betty tries to craft a weapon by picking up a shard of glass and heating it up with her lighter. Her fireproof fingers, which seem to have been burned before, are impervious to the heat. This foreshadows really nicely the hardening of body and soul that Gunnar was soon to go through. Obviously, Betty and Veronica are examples of two girls that have grown up much too quickly. In the park, Gunnar and his sisters are literally frozen with fear, and I think this stiffening or freezing from fear is a perfect microcosm for how the whole community of Hillside works. People are thrust into this zero-sum situation and are stiffened with fear and apprehension, which only angers others more. In time, they are stuck playing catch-up, and before they know it, they have been hardened and become completely different people that ironically help to fuel the zero-sumness of the community. But Gunnar is somewhat different. He has a moment of realization before he is completely swept away. Although he has changed, he does not completely assume his new identity. He's left confused and uncertain. He resists the whirlwind to some extent. He tries looking into the eyes of the boy he killed, which to me made him seem a little bit human at the time, and shows his curiosity about who this past self really is. This scene, I want to jump to yet another passage really briefly to show how this sneaking up of new identities is something that is upheld by something else. This scene is on page 112, where the principal of the school is seen running the quote-unquote young black and Latino men endangered species assembly. And he's going on this really forced and unauthentic tirade about how victimized the black and Latino students ought to feel. And he offers his sympathy because no matter how talented they are, they're never really going anywhere. Beatty uses this language to give an example of a cliche of helpless victimization. These cliches recognize, while they recognize oppression and racism, they endow their victims with no agency or ability whatsoever. And in my opinion, these narratives or these cliches are much more dangerous than outright racism because they're covertly oppressive. They imprison their victims in a new kind of narrative, one that is much harder to even recognize as oppressive. This is yet another way in which this, you know, acted upon identity in Hillside and communities like it across our country really are covertly being changed and attacked. I hope this was not too scattered. I tried to relate this to some other passage, so we can get to this tomorrow more, but that's my podcast.